all know, I'm sure, that once you are baptized, you are baptized. Baptism crosses all the denominations, and we do not re-baptize. So just as the press later on got it wrong when they called Michael Curry a bishop of Chicago, where he never served liturgically except visiting as presiding bishop of the whole church, I think they made a mistake about Meghan Markle being baptized and confirmed. But then there was an article, of all places, New York Times, that godless thing, the New York Times reported an explanation. It seems that Meghan Markle belonged to a Protestant church which only baptizes in the name of Jesus. And today is the day we celebrate the Holy Trinity. And we recall that Jesus told us to go baptize all nations in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And that is a full baptism. So the only time we re-baptize is if someone was not baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we have even a story from the early teachings of the church, from the book of the Acts of the Apostles, where Peter met with some people who seemed to not be any different after their baptism. And he said, well, how were you baptized? And they said, we were baptized in the name of Jesus. And he immediately re-baptized them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Spirit and rejoiced and went about proclaiming the good news of the gospel to the world. So we have biblical precedent, and now we know why Meghan Markle had to be re-baptized, and we celebrate the Trinity today and say that it is important. So Jesus taught us to baptize in the name of the Trinity. And in our gospel today, we hear Jesus actually explicating the whole of the Holy Trinity. He connects himself to the Father. I am one with the Father, and the Father is one with me. And he tells Nicodemus to follow him, Jesus the Son. And Nicodemus is confused as he describes the Holy Spirit and says, you must be born again with the Holy Spirit. So there's the whole Trinity for us in that reading. There's something weird about it. Sorry, I'm putting too much stuff here. There's something strange about that reading, and that is that you might have, about three-quarters of the way through, you said, wait, Sonny, I've heard this before just a couple months ago, because the story picked up the end of God so loved the world that he sent his only Son. But then there is that phrase in there, Jesus says, just as Moses lifted up the serpent, so must the Son of God be lifted up. And, that's why our friend is back. The serpent story is with us again today. And we remember, because y'all were at church on like the fourth Sunday of Lent, right? So you remember that the Israelites were being bitten by serpents in the desert, and God said, put a serpent on a pole. And when the people look at this bronze serpent, they will be saved. And years later, that when they finally got to the Holy Land, the Israelites were still taking that serpent with them, and they put it in the temple. And in the temple, it stood there as a reminder to them of God saving the people when they were bitten by serpents. King Uzziah died. And the prophet in the temple is Isaiah. And Isaiah seems to have been a kind of a boring prophet up to this point, not taking many risks or saying really profound things. And he's praying in the temple in front of the bronze serpent on the pole. And suddenly, he has a vision. The serpent grows wings. Six wings. And other serpents appear also. And now we give them a new name. We call them seraphim, if they have all those extra wings. Now, seraphim are not like those pretty little Italian paintings you have of angelic little Cupid cherubim. Seraphim are terrifying. They're giant snakes with wings. And they're caught in their smoke filling the temple. There was no big fire there. They're breathing fire. And they're proclaiming, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Most High." And this is a terrifying experience. It's not like the pretty hymn we're going to sing at the end of church that, "Holy, holy, holy." You know, that's real nice and sweet. This was not nice and sweet. This was more like that last verse that we almost didn't sing. Six winged seraphs crying out in an awesome and a terrifying way. "Holy, holy, holy, the Lord God Most High." And needless to say, Isaiah is terrified, overwhelmed. Spirit. It's in us, but it fires us up and it glows where it will, and it So what does this have to do with our lives? We human beings have really messed up this world. God created it good. Each of the days God made, and it was good. But we got us a bad global warming problem, and I hope they're in your pumpkin today. We have messed up this earth. Jesus has given us a glimpse of how we should live, but how many of us really live like Jesus? The Holy Spirit gives us the wisdom and the courage to live that way. But how often do we just tell that grumbling in us that says, go for it, later? We have this triune God. But when we remember the holy, the power, the wonder, we compare that to what we humans by ourselves do, and we know there's something great, something that can overcome all the times we fail to do what we should, and all the times we do what we should not. If we remember that God is God, awesome and wonderful beyond understanding, then we know that we can help in spite of ourselves, in spite of our unclean lips. This awesome and amazing God says, yes, you are sent. We pray, here I am. Send me. But as you do, I know I don't do it myself. I do it with the power of the Holy Trinity, the awesome and the wondrous. Thanks be to this God, one.